Thank you very much. So if there are no additional questions, let's just jump to the next topic that we have on the table today, which is the ex-ante assessment. I was mentioning that we were going to cover three different guidance documents, and the next one, which was actually the first one that was issued by FICOMPASS, is the ex-ante assessment guidance. And I would like to give the floor to Alessandro again to explain to us, let's say, in basic arguments, what's the ex-ante about, the ex-ante assessment?
As you know, we are very lucky this period because we have an entire. We are very lucky this period because we have an entire article of the regulation dealing with the ex-ante assessment. But I think that the ex-ante assessment, Rona, tell me if I'm wrong or not, it goes beyond a simple requirement of the regulation. If it is done like the homework that you have to do because you have to do, okay, probably will be a scholastic exercise. But if you invest in the ex-ante assessment, probably will be an help for you in the following phases of the developing on the financial instruments. So I think that if you go paragraph of Article 37, and this is how is framed also the guide of the ex-ante assessment, you will see that, every single paragraph has got a consequence, an impact on the following steps of the implementation of financial instruments. So if you take the ex-ante assessment as an investment that you do in the beginning, probably this investment, and then, we are dealing with investments, no? Don't we? It will be repay you. For example, think about the first thing, the failure market, the gap analysis, and analysis of the suboptimal use. This is the only way you can really understand which is the dimension and the scope of your object, of your financial instruments. Now, today we see can start. He gives us four slides to present the context. So if you not have a clear idea of who are your target, who will be your client, it's difficult that you will develop in the dimension and the scope of the financial instruments. The second part of the ex-ante assessment, the first block, is divided in two blocks, basically. One is the market assessment, the second one is the management delivery part. The first part, it looks like a little bit theoretical, but for me, it's crucial. If you don't do this homework in a good way, then you will miss the understanding of and the rationale of what you're doing. And the activity related to, for example, the understanding the added value of the financial instruments and the way you are able to attract additional resources, again, is very important. How our Hungarian colleagues explain us the importance of the combination of the instruments. No? We run the risk to have the final financial products like standalone stuff. No, they do not. They are not. They are things that happen in a policy context with something else is also there. So understanding the added value of your financial instrument, this also, I think, was the chart, the graph that was projecting by Ken, no? When it was the... I almost understand all of it. not fully, But, for example, the magic triangles give you exactly which are the added value of financial instruments, what you want to achieve, what you want to touch. And this, is the rationale that are behind the following two steps. And then let's learn. I think that today, I don't waste too much time on that point because also Bruno has a first question, say, what you learn from the past period, you know? Because again, it's true for everything in our life. But in the question of financialism, we need to take care about what we learned in the past period. This is the main source of our information understanding. Then if we move in the second part, you have the proposed investment strategy. This is a crucial element. If you do it correctly, you can copy and paste it in the funding agreement. No, this is simply an advice, but again, if you do a proposed strategy and you put an investment, an effort in doing you do a lot of job that you need to do in front of you. And the other way, if you don't have a clear strategy in your mind, how you can develop a financial instrument then? How you can go in the market looking for a financial intermediary, if you don't understand which kind of financial product you're going to sell. And then there is the expected result. This is crucial also because since you are implementing a financial reason within an operational program, I mean, the result that you are going to achieve are to have, I mean, some links with the result of operational program, no? And this is something that will also require you by the regulation because you are required to provide information in your annual implementation report about the contribution of financial instrument towards the objective of the OP. So the important thing is that if you have already clear this in mind, you will also know what you are going to ask to financial intermediaries in terms of information collection. And finally, provision for revision of the ex-ante assessment. Again, this is important because if you interpret the financial the ex-ante assessment as a scholastic exercise, again, okay, you do the job and that's it. But if you interpret it like a living intellectual instrument that allow you to interpret what is out of there, I mean, then you have to already plan how you are going to change and which are the conditions that put you again in analyzing the market. So this is, I think, as the true rationale of the part of the rationale that are under the ex-ante assessment. And then I think it's very important that you do this exercise. And since we are truly a believer on that, we organize our methodology. And you got 5 volumes of the guide. One is the general, and the other one are specific related to topics of innovation, business support, energy, urban and territorial development. And this is already available, as you know. But we try to go a little bit further than that. So this is crucial and important. It's an operational guide, both for practitioner and for managing authority, which goes a lot beyond the formal requirement of the regulation. But then, since we are aware this is a crucial and important step, we also try to make your life easier. We developed the quick guide you have in your folder. And I think this is very useful as a guide of the guide. And then also we are developing a video, again, to guide you within the guide and also to have a fast understanding, and cases. And cases, I think, is an important part of our job. Again, collect information from the ground. Make the people example how concretely people have tackled some issues, I think is the better way to help you in doing the exercise.
Thank you very much. You mentioned, Alessandro, how important it is not only to have the theoretical support, but also to know about case studies and about real experiences and there, about the real experiences and the challenges that practice puts forward to the ex-ante assessment. I think Rona Michi can illustrate us a bit further. What are the challenges in, let's say, practical terms, in real life?
Thanks. Can I go back a couple of slides? Sorry. To this slide and the one after, there's a couple of elements which are now included in the ex-ante process. Of course, having an ex-ante assessment carried out wasn't mandatory in the previous program period, although many were. But there were some shortcomings with those ex-ante assessments, and I think this structure is trying to address those by making more elements part of it. So this review of lessons learned wasn't something that many ex-ante assessments did in the previous program period. And also this explicitly addressing to what program results the financial instruments would contribute. And a couple of the other elements, which are, I think, really important in terms of the lessons coming through from the previous period, is this provision for an update. The opportunity to revisit the ex-ante assessment. And I think that's something that quite a few managing authorities are planning to do in this program period, as well as the opportunity to do the ex-ante assessment in phases. So maybe start off with an ex-ante concentrating on access to finance for SMEs, then progressing on to urban development, or also the opportunity of coming back during the program period, checking the situation, seeing whether things have changed, whether there's maybe an opportunity for introducing a new type of fund for a new thematic objective. Some of the other lessons that came through from the previous period is the importance of a really good quality ex-ante assessment. As Alessandro said, it's the building block on which everything is built, and it means that some of the work is already done for you. With a local understanding of the market, that's crucial. And another point is that the ex-ante assessment may only take you so far. It may be necessary to do market testing before you launch financial instruments. It's something that, for example, the London Green Fund, I know that Kenroy Kellenek-Reed from the London Green Fund is here. I don't think he's in this workshop today, just now, but the London Green Fund did their feasibility study in the last period for their Jessica fund, and because there was a gap between that and launching the fund due to the negotiation procedure, they then did some market testing before launching it to make sure that everything was still as it had been when the ex ante was done, and that led to some changes and tweaks in the actual instrument to make sure it properly addressed the market gap. I think that's everything.
Thank you very much. Building on the experience, I would like to ask Bruno Robino what he thinks about the ex ante assessment, comparing the two periods, and let's say from a more institutional, if I can say so, point of view. How do you see the two periods in as regards the ex ante assessment?
Well, as it was mentioned before, it was not compulsory, so only a few member states, only a few regions really used that possibility. So I would regard the ex ante and the proposed investment strategy, which goes together, probably a useful tool to really elaborate the strategy of your member state, of your region, to put together the ideas, to really think about what you are planning to do. It was mentioned, if well done, most likely you will have a feeling of what is the situation in your country, in your territory, and some surprises might occur. As a managing authority, you had the impression that area was not covered or more covered, and you might have some surprises which not expect. So it will help you to know better your country, your region. It might be useful, as is structured, to build in the political level. You have to explain to whoever will press the button to use the money in this way, what are you planning to do and what will be the benefit for the final user. And this is also a powerful tool to explain this in a I would say rather structured way, already considering some potential results. Maybe some two words on the challenges, because some member states, some region were already confronted with the ex ante. So at the moment there are clear indication of what should be included in the ex ante, but who started earlier was really had some difficulties, and it was not really clear what was really necessary in the ex ante. But anyway, the first step, I would say the main challenge, is to reach the consensus at the level of a region or a member state. Shall we do the ex ante? Yes or no? That's the first challenge. Once the consensus is reached, is tackle some technicalities. Who's going to do it? How? When? What will be? Shall we procure a special body to carry out this? So these are some of the technicalities which might need to be solved. Then talking about the putting together the ideas, which areas are we planning to cover in our ex ante? So shall we include more than the previous programming period? Shall we take away other areas? So take advantage of the flexibility. Then also maybe another challenge is to be realistic about the results. So there will be most likely discovering huge gap of financing, but let's be realistic with the limited amount of money that we are. We are not planning to cover all the gap. We are planning to give a contribution to cover a portion of the gap. So it is expected that through the implementation of these instruments, we will help and we will contribute to that. And finally, of course, and this is also the there is a possibility, actually is required, to really describe the, and it was mentioned many times, the lesson learned. But not only the positive, the tendency is to put the positive, this was successful, but maybe where it went wrong. And I don't want necessarily to do and to go in the same way, in the same route. So what went not necessarily well, and this is the right place to maybe describe and have some bullet points which remember what was in order to avoid to make the same mistake in the future. So this I would say as a consideration what I would be the useful and the main challenges of the ex-ante, which is, by the way, is compulsory. So it's apart from the usefulness, it's compulsory if you want to implement financial instruments.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions in the room about the ex-ante assessment and the challenges? Any comments? Any experiences? I wonder if any of you, or the regions where you work, are involved in the ex-ante assessment process at the moment. I wonder that. Are you, Ken? Would you like to add something on the? Yes, please. Can we have a microphone here? Can we have a microphone here, please?
Thank you. Sorry, I'm talking a lot today. It's interesting what Bruno said about political level and political buy-in. I mean, that I think that can be a challenge in some respects. Our own experience, I said in my presentation that we'd sort of had a high-level assessment, so we did it in stages. So we started back in 2013, and we were looking at what it was in parallel with the development of the programme. So it was part of, you know, what are our priorities to negotiate with the Commission in terms of the programme. So at the same time as that, we were looking at all the potential areas where, given the flexibility that's available now in financial instruments, were the perhaps viable things that could be invested in. That process we've been through, and we sort of whittled them down. So we have our priority, which is around the access to finance for SMEs. But as I said, we are again looking now at urban development funds. The colleagues on the rural side of things, they're starting to think more about you know, investments in farms, and I'd mentioned guarantee funds for farm loans. But there's a degree of inertia, I think, in terms of the shift from we're an organisation that gives grants to an organisation that is setting up a structure that will make an investment approach. And I'd reiterate what I also started off by saying, that, you know, from where I am, I'm not an investment specialist. I'm a boring civil servant. You know, that's what. So I'm rules and regulations. That's really what we do. And there's a tension there, I think, that we find sometimes between you get driven by. It's inherent, I think, in public bodies that we are risk averse. You know, that is this within the rules, etc. So we're always asking the question: can we do this? Is it legal or whatever? So I think you touched on that in terms of the two languages that need to be developed.
Can I make a question? Sure. I mean, to you, but to everyone. I mean, one of the things is that I'm a pure consultant, no? Also working in the dark side of the administration. But one of the things that happened when we were supporting ex-ante assessment, that at a certain point we say to the managing authority, you need to meet the financial ecosystem out of there. We need to for a focus group or something, we need to understand what is happening out there. We need to involve them. Also, because we need to send a message. The message is, hey, we are preparing a financial instruments and we are not implemented by ourselves. We need some expert and professional. So And this is, I understand the tension because there is a resistance to, you know, to display. But the outcome of this suggestion that we make, and this also in the Xanta assessment suggested to have a kind of focus group and panel to involve, was good. Because the managing authority, first of all, as Ruby, Bruno say, becomes more aware and realistic. Realistic about what can do, and also realistic about how to deal with the private sector. So the question is, how do you, if you, and how do you involve the you know, the financial systems in, during the ex-ante assessment? Because one thing is that ex-ante assessment, you see, I appreciate very much, you say, I mean, it's not a financial instrument, so schematic stuff that everything can take place. And the, also the ex-ante assessment doesn't take disorder. I mean, you do the gap analysis, then you involve the stakeholders, and then you make the first proposed strategy. You understand this is not realistic. You come back, you start again the analysis. There's a lot of loop on the process. But the question is, if you involve and how you manage this process more than a product of financial assessment or the ex-ante assessment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh. To everyone. I mean, it's not.
Okay. I don't know if Marco would like to add something here because I know he's involved. Yeah.
Okay. It's very interesting in this point of view because, for example, now we are evaluating the Loans Fund, okay, to help micro. Or small sites, enterprises, and we have this kind of problem. People wanted a grant, want to have only grants in these sectors, and we want to change this point of view. We want to bring this kind of enterprises to have loan, okay, to change the mentality. And we are studying, we are evaluating with the ex-ante system the condition, the market, the situation in the economic system in Sardinia, because it's important to understand if we will create a loans fund, we have clients, because we think. That if they want only grants, the Loan Fund remain a fund for managing authorities, not for people. And it's very important to understand the failure market, the gaps. One of the most gaps is this, that we have to change the method, the mechanism, the mentality to have both in the first time. For example, at the beginning we have both. Grants and loans. After some years, to change only with loans funds for microcredit, a scheme like this, because the problem is that are sure that will have in the future beneficiaries, clients for this fund or for this action. Or operation like this, not only here, but also in the other areas, because the same problems that we have resolved with Jessica Holding Fund was to have private investments. In the future, we want to have a lot of resources from private sectors, because now this is the first problem. For example, in a city like Cagliari, where we have a lot of buildings, empty buildings, public, for example, properties, that we want to we want to change the radioactivities inside, but it's impossible to have only public resources. I want to have the new resources from private sector. And it's important to understand if this kind of financial instrument or our activities is able to catch private investors. It's very important, the ex-ante assessment, to have this condition, this term, to have this information. And I think that I agree, of course, and I think it's not a scholastic exercise, but it's the first step to have a condition inside we can operate, we can produce good results for future.
Thank you. Any other reaction about ex ante? Björn, I don't know if you'd like to add something.
I still don't want Ken to get off the hook. Alessandro asked a very pertinent question, and one point that we always make from an EIB viewpoint is, do not see the ex ante assessment simply as a tick-off exercise to be compliant with the regulation. Don't only see it as a desk research, but see it also as a consultative process to engage with your stakeholders. Now, the question is very simple. Have you done it in Wales? And if so, how did you consult with the financial sector and others?
Wales. My final slide, I showed you the sort of like the elements: SMEs, business advice and support services, private sector, and the financial instrument. As Welsh Government, not necessarily WEFO, which is my part of Welsh Government, as Welsh Government, we do have quite a good and close working relationship with the wider business community within Wales. And there are an existing number of structures where Welsh Government talks to business. I mean, there's the obvious things like the Federation of Small Business and the CBI, but we have sectors groups. So there's a number of avenues that we've been able to use. Not us personally, it was our evaluators, our assessors, who were able to use those opportunities to sit and talk with businesses. To get that understanding of what the landscape is in terms of access to finance, which is what we were talking about. I'd agree. I mean, if you're not talking to the stakeholders or the potential final recipients, how are you ever going to design an instrument or an intervention that's going to actually meet their needs? So it almost goes without saying that you need to get that level of interaction, that understanding with them. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Any other comments, please? The lady here in the middle.
Yes. The question is related to the comparison which we'll be able to make between the instrument in the different member states, because looking at the instrument, the size of the instrument in Hungary, for example, in comparison to the one in France, which are very, very small on the managing authorities level. So I am wondering it will be possible to compare such instrument and to compare the way how to do the and to identify the market failure and all those technical details will be quite different, and how to reach the critical mass, and which are all very important dimension in the selection and the choice of the instrument. Do you think that it will be a platform like FICOMPASS could address those issue, because between a fund which has an envelope more than 100 million and one which is only has only 10 million, it is quite different in term of attract investors and how to also in the term of the question of governance is also could be also addressed in relation to this question.
Thank you. I'm not sure. Bruno, please.
Yeah, let me answer. So you first, there are a lot of things in your question. So first of all, the comparison. And then it's a question to you, why would you like to compare? Maybe to compare the results, but not the amounts. The amounts are a function of the budget and budget allocation per member state. By the way, in France, is more a budget allocation by a region. So the size of the financial instruments at regional level, of course, cannot be, I would not say compared, but is not the same size as the national level in, for example, Hungary. So there are differences. Maybe comparison could be done at the level of the results, so in terms of leverage. Leverage is the same for everybody, so irrespective, assuming that we talk about the same definition, but when we talk a leverage of 3-4, that is a function. Well, it doesn't have to be linked to the amount of money that is put in the instrument. It's just a measure of the efficiency of the instrument. But it could be measured or compared in terms of results, so how many final recipients were touched in case of SMEs, in case of other final recipients. You have example in France of, in their own, well, on a limited scale, but a extremely good example of good use or satisfactory use of, in the previous programming period, of the structural funds through financial instruments in a small scale. So small scale, actually, and this is the experience of EIF, in some cases the regional mandates, so the regional funds produced, if you want to compare, better results than the big large numbers. So don't be impressed by the large numbers, because maybe at regional level the effect are proportionally much more important than at national level. So I would not insist on the comparison, but some of the, and the fact that small is beautiful is not only a slogan, is a reality. It allows to really be very specific, very attentive in the implementation of the instruments, as opposed to the national. You mentioned also governance and attract investors. That was also possible at regional level, attract investors which were willing to play on a small base at regional level, provided that their geography correspond to the geography of the territory. So, for example, some banks are not necessarily organized exactly in terms of coverage as the regional, the new, because there will be a new one, a new redefinition of the region in France. So they are not necessarily organized. The whole point is to attract the banks or the financial intermediaries which are or can guarantee the maximum coverage of your territory. Would that be the region? Would that be a member state? This is important in the selection criteria that you will include in the rules for selecting the financial intermediaries.
Thank you very much. Any other comments?
Possibly on the same question, Laura. I understand you also ask what role can FiCompass play here. Well, I think it was mentioned before by Alessandro also. You see outside the case studies that focus very much on entire instruments that were done in the last programming period. So they are more to serve as an inspiration, to give ideas of what can actually be achieved and can be done. What we want to do in the coming months is to develop concrete case studies actually on ex-ante assessments also. So how did a particular region take forward the ex-ante assessment? What did they conclude? And why did they make the choices they made? That could be something that is helpful. I mean, if you look at the ex-ante assessment, one that is common to all regions is simply the analysis of the market failure. This is there. I think you don't have to compare with others. It's a fact. And as you said, Bruno, it's a function of the exercise. But then I think where the difference lies sometimes is in the choice of the implementation option. There's a motivation. There's a reason for that. And that's possibly something that we can look into in the course of the year when there's more experiences out there. We were also at some point thinking with Commission colleagues to set up on the website a database of the executive summaries of ex-ante assessments, for example. So people can do their own analysis or come to their own conclusions. They can look at different regions or different countries, see what they've done, and to which conclusions they came. And I think this would already be a good contribution of FICOMPASS to this discussion.
Thank you very much.